Picture this. You're sitting in the right seat of a Piper M600, single-engine turboprop, cruising at 27,000 feet, and the person in the left seat, the pilot, just slumped forward and stopped breathing. You're not a pilot, you've never touched the controls, but there's a button above your head. It's red, it says Emergency Autoland, and if you press it, the airplane will actually land itself. Not in some fantasy tech demo, in real life. At a real airport, with the gear down, the flaps configured, the radios tuned, and air traffic control already briefed on what's happening. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector on Clear Direct, and today we're breaking down the system that does all of that. Garmin Autoland, the avionics feature that sounds like science fiction, but has been certified in shipping since 2020. Let's break this down. Before we go deeper, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey in beautifully made pieces you can actually hold in your hand. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's define our terms first. When Garmin says autoland, they don't mean the autopilot capturing an instrument landing system approach. Pilots have been using coupled approaches for decades. That's old technology. A Category 3 autoland on a 737 or a 777 does shoot the approach and touchdown in zero visibility. But a human is still running the airplane, flying the jet, making the decisions. Garmin's Autoland is something categorically different. It's a system that assumes nobody in the aircraft is capable of flying it. Not the pilot, not the passengers, not anyone. The humans on board might be dead, unconscious, or just completely unqualified, and from that starting point, the airplane has to figure out the rest. Here's what the system actually does when you press that red button. First, it takes stock of the situation. It knows how much fuel is on board. It knows the aircraft's position, altitude, heading, and performance envelope. It knows the weather because the airplane has been pulling down Datelink weather the whole flight, either from automatic dependent surveillance broadcast in, which we call ADS-B in, or from satellite weather. Then it picks a destination. And this is the interesting part. It's not picking the nearest airport, it's picking the nearest suitable airport. That's a huge distinction. The algorithm is weighing runway length against the aircraft's landing distance, weather minimums, terrain, approach availability, winds, obstacles. Even the presence of an instrument approach with lateral and vertical guidance. Once it picks the airport, it builds a route, it flies that route, it descends, it sequences onto the approach. On a Piper M600, or a Daher TBM960, or a Cirrus Vision jet, we're talking about an aircraft that has to manage power, attitude, configuration, and energy all the way to touchdown. And while it's doing all of this, it's talking, literally talking. The system broadcasts an automated voice message on the appropriate controller frequency. Aircraft is executing emergency autoland. Landing itself, no pilot input is possible. It repeats. It tunes the next frequency. It does this because nobody inside the plane is going to answer the radio. Here's what most people miss. The piece that makes all of this work is not any single breakthrough. It's the integration for. Autoland to function, the airplane needs a flight control system that can follow digital commands all the way to touchdown. It needs autothrottle, so the system can manage power without a human pushing the lever. It needs electrically actuated gear and flaps. It needs a coupled go-around capability. It needs precision navigation. It needs data link weather. It needs synthetic vision. It needs a flight management system that can replan in flight. Each one of those things already existed in 2018. What Garmin did was stitch them all together. Write the decision logic that ties them into a single emergency response and convince the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, that the result was safe enough to ship. That certification process took years. Garmin started working on the concept in the mid-2010s. Engineers in Olathe, Kansas ran thousands of simulations and hundreds of actual test flights. They had to prove the system would handle crosswinds, gusts, turbulence, icing-induced performance loss, partial failures. They had to show that the automated voice communication wouldn't confuse controllers or other traffic. They had to demonstrate safe behavior when the ideal airport was unavailable. Runway closed, thunderstorm in the way, gear fails to extend. What does the system do then? The FAA signed off in May of 2020. The Piper M600 SLS was the launch platform. By the end of that year, the Cirrus Vision Jet G2 Plus had it. The Daher TBM940 came next. Today, you'll find Autoland under the Autonomy umbrella across several turboprops and light jets equipped with the Garmin G3000 or G5000 integrated flight decks. The data tells an interesting story about when this actually matters. Pilot incapacitation is rare, but when it happens in a single pilot airplane with passengers on board, the outcome used to be uniformly catastrophic. The person in the right seat either had to somehow learn to land the airplane, sometimes with a disembodied voice of a flight instructor over the radio trying to talk them through it, or they were going to crash. You've seen the news stories. Passenger lands plane after pilot faints. Those events captured public imagination precisely because they were so unlikely to end well. Autoland changes the math on those scenarios, and we now have documented saves. A Piper M600 with a medically compromised pilot. Autoland activated. The airplane landed. The passengers survived. The pilot got to the hospital alive. That's a real outcome. That's not a marketing video.
But, and this is the honest part of the conversation, Autoland is not a parachute. Autoland is not magic. Autoland has real limits, and pilots considering these aircraft need to understand them. Limit 1. It only works in aircraft equipped with it. As of this broadcast, we're talking about a specific, high-end slice of the general aviation market. The entry-level aircraft in the lineup cost close to $4 million. That's not criticism. It's just context. You're not getting Autoland in a Cessna 172. Limit 2. It assumes a functioning engine. If you've had an engine failure, Autoland is not your tool. You need Smart Glide, which is a different and simpler Garmin product we'll talk about in a moment. Autoland needs power to fly the planned descent and approach. Limit 3. It assumes a functioning airframe. A control surface failure, a structural problem, a fire, a significant fuel leak. These are scenarios Autoland is not designed to handle. The system is built around pilot incapacitation in an otherwise healthy airplane. Limit 4. It needs avionics power. If you've lost your electrical system or your primary flight displays, Autoland is not going to save you. The system depends on the system. When the brain is down, so is the feature. Limit 5. It picks the nearest suitable airport, not necessarily the closest. In mountain country, in stretches of ocean, over remote terrain, that airport might be a long way off. The system is honest about this. It'll display what it's planning and give you the estimated arrival time. But in some geographies, the answer might be an hour of flight. If the pilot is having a stroke, an hour is a long time. Limit 6, and this is the one I think deserves the most attention. There's a real concern in the safety community about what's called automation complacency. The idea that pilots, knowing Autoland is available, might fly more aggressive missions. Fly into weather they wouldn't otherwise. Skip pre-flight medical self-assessment. Take passengers up with less thought to the chain of custody if something goes wrong. The counter-argument is that pilots who fly these aircraft are generally experienced, well-trained, and often flying for business. The claim that Autoland breeds complacency is theoretical. The claim that it has demonstrably saved lives is not. Both of those things can be true at the same time. Now let's talk about the piece I personally think is the most interesting engineering problem in this whole product, the communication layer. Imagine you're an air traffic controller at a Class Delta airport in the middle of your morning shift. Suddenly a voice comes over your frequency. It's not a pilot, it's an automated voice saying, "Aircraft November 123 Alpha Bravo is executing an emergency autoland. No pilot input is possible. Landing on runway 27. The voice gives the aircraft's current position, altitude, estimated time of arrival, and intended approach. Now, that controller has almost certainly never worked one of these before, but they have to react immediately. They have to protect the airspace, move other traffic out of the way, roll the equipment, clear the runway. And they can't ask the aircraft questions, because the aircraft can't answer anything beyond its canned broadcast. Garmin worked with the FAA Air Traffic Organization on the scripting of those messages for exactly this reason. The words are designed to be unambiguous. The airport is alerted through the emergency system. The aircraft tunes through approach, tower, and ground frequencies as appropriate, broadcasting on each one. It's essentially pretending to be a pilot doing everything right, just at machine speed. With a synthetic voice, that communication design is, in some ways, harder than the flying part. The flying part is integrated autopilot. The communication part is a legal, linguistic, and operational question. What does the system say? What tone? What repetition rate? What does it do if the primary runway turns out to be unavailable when it arrives? The answer to that last one, by the way, is that the system can go around. Autoland has a coupled go-around capability. If the approach isn't stable, if the runway isn't clear, if something doesn't look right to the system's logic, it will climb, reconfigure, and either try again or divert to an alternate that it pre-identified during the descent. That's worth sitting with for a second. The airplane can decide to go around by itself, during an emergency landing, with nobody flying it. Now let's talk about where this goes next. Garmin has been extending Autoland into more aircraft. The roadmap includes larger aircraft, potentially twins and bigger jets. The technical challenges there are real. A twin has more failure modes, a jet has higher speeds, shorter reaction windows, different stall behavior, and swept wing handling characteristics. But nothing about those challenges is fundamental. The certification work is the long pole in the tent, not the engineering. For the rest of us, the pilots who are never going to own a TBM 960, Garmin took the Autoland design philosophy and distilled it down. The product is called Smart Glide. It came out in 2021. If you have a compatible Garmin navigator, like a GTN 750 Zigzi, you press one button when your engine quits, and the system does three things. It sets best glide speed via the autopilot if you have one coupled. It identifies the best available airport within gliding distance based on glide performance and wind, and it pretunes the emergency frequency 121.5 along with the nearest appropriate air traffic facility. Smart Glide is not going to land the airplane for you. That's the key difference. Smart Glide is a pilot's tool. You're still flying, you're still making decisions, but it removes a ton of the checklist burden during the first 30 seconds of an engine failure. That window when you're supposed to be doing five things at once and usually fail to do any of them well. That's a more realistic product for most of the piston fleet. You can retrofit Smart Glide into a lot of airplanes. It's not cheap, but it's in the thousands, not the hundreds of thousands. Here's what I keep coming back to when I think about Autoland. Aviation safety, for most of the history of powered flight, has been about training humans to not make mistakes. The system assumed the pilot was the smart part and built tools to help the pilot be smarter. Better instruments, better weather, better approach aids, ground proximity warnings, traffic alerts, every one of those systems gave the pilot more information so the pilot could make better decisions. Autoland is different. Autoland assumes the pilot isn't there. The system is the smart part, from the moment the button is pressed. That's a philosophical shift, and it's probably the direction a lot of aviation is headed in small steps over the next couple of decades. Whether we like it or not, I'll leave you with one more thought on this. The pilots I know who fly Autoland-equipped airplanes almost never talk about the button. They know it's there. They've tested it in the simulator, they've read the manuals, but day to day, they fly the airplane the way pilots have always flown airplanes. What's changed is not how they fly. What's changed is what happens if they can't. That's a quiet kind of progress. It doesn't make headlines most days, but it's a real thing sitting above the heads of passengers in a few thousand airplanes right now, and it will land the plane if it has to. Thanks to Garmin's Autonomy technical documentation, Aviation International News coverage of the certification path, and AOPA's reporting on real-world Autoland activations for the background on this segment. Everything we cover lives at RadioHangar.com if you want to go deeper. I'm Vector, fly safe, and keep asking how things work.